Blog Talk Radio.
What up, Dunn? Welcome to the War Room. We got Dez, Errol, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, and
Hot
Block
Commander.
How you want to end up 1 or 2 hours show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the War Room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, it's draft day, football fans. Welcome once again, family members, to another edition at a special time of 7 p.m., no doubt, of your favorite sports show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, of course. I was on hiatus last week, but I'm back with the fellas, and we're ready to go. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me, as usual, in the War Room Roundtable is the rest of your starting five. Actually, two of our starting five aren't with us tonight. Akil and PJ are going to join us next week, but with me tonight, I got Jimmy, the Blueprint Williams, and B. Austin,
what up,
the
homie?
Block Commander. What up, fellas?
Yo, what's good? I'm excited.
I'm ready to do this tonight. It's draft night, man.
I'm excited. I get to talk right, 40
bro.
Short shuffles, and short shuttles, rather, and high jumps.
What's
none of it relevant
thing?
To the NFL. None of it relevant to the NFL, but whatever.
All right, well, look, tonight we're going to welcome you into our War Room for the 2011 NFL Draft. But before we get to that, we're going to talk some NBA, and we're going to talk some NHL playoffs. That's going to be real brief. We're going to talk more about the NBA, and we're going to get into a whole lot of other hot sports topics. So, of course, we want to hear from you guys tonight. So when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, call in and tell us what's on your mind. That number, again, is 323-410-0012. As usual, that JW Philly Realty chat room is open right now, so get in there and join in on the conversation. Make sure you catch our brothers Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Wednesday at 6 right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. Actually, tonight they're on a special time, so they're going tonight. They started at 6, so, you know, y'all can't listen to them tonight because you got to keep it tuned right here where you're at. So, we're kind of excited because 2 days ago we announced the release of the War Room Sports mobile app for the Android and Apple platforms. So if you own an Android or an Apple device, please go to the market or the App Store and put War Room Sports in the search box and download it. We also want to you guys to leave us a rating. Most importantly, we need you to spread the word. Tell everyone you know to download the app on their Android phones and tablets, their iPhones, iPads, iPods, iRobots, whatever they got. Now that you all know why we're so excited, we're going to spread some birthday love.
It's my birthday. Yay!
What's up, gentlemen? Yo,
Jimbo.
I got some interesting birthdays for you, yo. First one, I can't even laugh. Like, I got to laugh saying this brother's name, but it's the birthday of one James Thrash, a.k.a. James Trash, who turns 36. Dev, I don't know, homie James Thrash.
Man, when I think of James Trizash, you know, I think of all those years, those agonizing NFC championship losses for my home team, Philadelphia Eagles, you know, when everybody was giving the excuse to Donovan that he didn't have any receivers. I mean, Trash and Stinkston weren't that great, but an elite quarterback makes a receiver better. So, you know, I'm just going to wish the ball happy birthday. I'm not going to trash him too bad.
Damn, you found a way to take a shot at McScab talking about Thrash. Love it, love it. Austin, what you got?
Yo, quite normal. I mean, normally I go at our man James Trash, but I'm going to take the higher road and say, you know, throughout an unceremonious but long career, yo, you have to admire dude's fortitude, his health, and he actually was pretty fast. He couldn't run a route to save God in front of the devil, but he was, you know, he was James Trash, and he a great special teamer, great effort guy, great 40 time, just no hands and no routes. Kasim Osgood.
Keep that in mind as you watch the draft about how 40 times don't translate to being a productive player in the league. But I got a question for you guys based upon it being his birthday. Is James Thrash and Todd Pinkston the worst tandem of receivers you ever seen in a winning team?
Absolutely not.
That's a good question. Well, he did say on a winning team, though.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly.
I don't know, man. This might be unpopular, but I might take them over the tandem they won three chips with in New England.
I don't know about that one, dog.
All the Troy Brown supporters, look up his stats and then holler at me. He averaged like
I'm not talking about Troy Brown, dog. I would take David Patton over. Who? Go ahead. You give me the names of the guys you think from New England that were worse than Thrash and Pinkston. It's debatable, dog. You just went right ahead and said no.
Troy Brown. Look, let's not forget, the boy Pinkston, hey, he's skinny and fast. He could stretch the field a little bit. He was just
he could catch. He could catch.
Yeah,
He was scared to catch.
My thing is, when playing football, if you a coward, don't nothing else matter. I don't care what tools you got.
That's why Troy Brown is to people what he is, because he wasn't a coward. Because
he got heart. Like I said, heart makes up for a lot.
I'm going to go in another direction. I'm going to go with the 2000 Ravens. Yo, mm-hmm. I don't even know who they
receiver. I know
Stokely. I know Stokely scored a touchdown in a bowl. My man Brandon Stokely. There you go. He was on that Ravens team. He scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But that ain't nothing going on anyway.
He didn't get good until 2007. Somebody know he was on that team.
We could take that question and put it on Facebook later and have the people debate about who had, you know, the worst receiving core in a winning team, so all the Diamond supporters can come out. Anyway, next birthday is Joshua J. Howard. Also known as Josh Howard.
Yay!
Awesome, Josh Howard.
Yo, some people will stand up for what they believe in, and my man believes in marijuana. I ain't mad at him.
Yo, when you think of Josh, he's a pretty good player, but once you come to the Wizards, nobody's a pretty good player. They need to get John Wall out of here, stat. But Josh Howard, think about the whole national anthem thing when he was caught on a little video camera. It wasn't even caught. He was taping himself talking about, I don't stand up for this. And it was funny. I'm not mad at him for it. It was just funny.
Yo, but it's sort of like his game has regressed since then. He got caught with karma or something because, he was nice. But what happened?
Yo,
you said DC is what happened.
Let me touch on that. Let me touch on that real quick because I've watched the Wizards, as you gentlemen both have. I don't think Josh Howard has lost his game. I just think he doesn't care about playing hard here.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, it is what it is, and I hate that saying. I don't know what I said it, but
yo, next birthday real quick is Jason Lee Whitlock.
My birthday.
Turns
Yay!
44. Dev, Jason
Noodle.
Whitlock.
Jason Whitlock. He's known around a lot of circles, especially black circles, as like the Uncle Ruckus of sports writing. Now, being objective, there's a lot of things that I don't even go at him in that manner. I just think, you know, he says what's on his mind, and he doesn't really care who he offends, so I can understand his whole plight in that area. He writes things that I actually agree with sometimes, but then again, he writes a lot of things that, you know, sometimes I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? So, Jason Lee, I don't know. He was tripping.
But before I get to you, Austin, I just want to say I agree with you, Dev. I have heard people call him Uncle Ruckus, and I've actually called him Uncle Ruckus before reading a couple things, probably when he was defending McNabb. But for me, it's funny because we all get in sports debates every day. But when someone has an opinion and is basing their opinion on something, then that I think is relevant, then I have to respect their opinion. And he does say whatever he feels, because you know how sometimes you get in arguments with people and they I was literally in an argument the other day and the guy was talking about Jordan. Now, believe you me, you know I never really defend Jordan, but this dude told me Jordan wasn't the greatest because he had a gambling problem. When you say stuff like that, I just want to smack you. So the thing is, I don't agree with Whitlock all the time, but at the same time, he has point. He makes valid points. So, you know, props to him. Austin, what you got on the brother?
I think that if you put a white sheet on the boy and let him say what he had to say, sometimes you wouldn't know it was a black person. But
Rat power.
He cool.
Damn. Wow. Okay. Next one we got is William Bill Percy Winnington. My man,
my
Billy
birthday.
Winnington.
Yay!
Austin, Bill Winnington.
For who, for what, for why are we discussing Bill Winnington?
Bill Winnington was on some chip teams, man. Bill Winnington had games, not.
Yo, Cliff Livingston was on chip teams. What that mean?
No, he wasn't. Cliff Livingston, he was the B cheerleader, yo. He wasn't on the team.
Yeah, when it gets to his birthday, we're going to talk about Cliffy Livingston, too, good brother. Yo, Dad, yeah. What you got on Bill Winnington?
Nothing. Birthdays have been brought to you by
Waterboy named Bill Percy Winnington. By the way, those birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. You need to get your hair tossed up. You know where to go. Dad, tell us what happened while we were on the ground, good brother.
All right, everybody. I'm going to let you guys know what happened today. And earlier on in this week, while y'all were on the grind, fellas, did you hear about Queensbridge Ron Ron? He won the NBA Walter Kennedy Citizenship Award. Now, when I heard this, I reported it on our Facebook page, and there were some people who were actually, like, surprised about it. But I had to let them know that there's a difference between the Citizenship Award and the Sportsmanship Award. And Ron Ron does a lot for the community, yo. Mental health. He does a lot for all of that stuff. So what do you guys think about Ron Ron winning this award?
I'm getting tired of people bringing up Auburn Hills, the Palace. And you said something good, brother, on Facebook and kept it 100. Like, we look at Ron as if he's crazy because of that incident. And to be honest with you, if somebody throws beer on me, as disrespectful as that is, I'm going to beat him up, his wife, his kids, and anybody that came with him. So I guess you could throw me into the mental health situation with Ron.
Somebody could throw beer on me at church, and I'm jumping over the pew. So I don't feel
like
that's on. He was trying not to get into an altercation that night. He probably shouldn't have laid on the scores table. That was like showing the other team up a little bit. But dude didn't have to toss his drink on him, man.
Yeah, with all that being said, Ron is not all there. He will say what is on his heart and mind without thinking at all. It's like it bypasses. What he has to say comes from his heart, and it bypasses his brain and just goes straight to his mouth. But that's why we love him.
No filter. Yeah, no filter.
I mean,
he has no filter.
I love people like that.
Shout out to Ozzie Guillen,
too. Yo, that's my man, yo.
Yo, but real quick, Dev, in terms of him winning this award, I think it is deserved. He brings a lot of attention to a lot of mental health issues. But another thing I can say is Ron Ron has been putting in community service work for a long time and it's never reported. It's sort of like when you see the media, they report who they want to report. I know guys like Steve Smith put in a lot of community service work that never went noted. Even AI put in community service work that never went noted, but let AI get a parking ticket. It's all over the news.
Yo,
it's kind of funny how they treat you. I think if you really look at it,
AI, if you raise money for something, he used to have a softball game around the corner from my house in Bowie, like every year. I forgot what he was raising money for, but it was always a big turnout.
Yo, I know cats that went to college strictly because AI provided a scholarship for them, and even beyond that, is a situation like, AI gave back more than that fraud who played in Chicago in war number 23 who just wanted to maintain his corporate image. But at the same time, you know, they didn't want to promote that.
Watch your mouth before I smack your curls out your head.
That's not what they wanted to promote, you know what I mean? So shout out to Ron Ron for finally getting some attention for something he's been doing for a long time.
I mean, listen, this is a pretty surprising story right here. Peyton Hillis, the running back from the Cleveland Browns, he was awarded the Madden cover, and, you know, they had, like, a tournament type. You know, they had, like, a bracket set up. And these are the people – I'm not even naming the other the superstars that were in the brackets. I'm just naming the people that he went one-on-one with and actually beat them. He beat out Ray Rice in the first round, Matt Ryan in the second round, Aaron Rodgers in the third round, and then he beat Michael Vick to win the cover. So Peyton Hillis on the Madden cover. What y'all think about that, man? Jimmy.
Yo, I think it's hilarious, but this is what happens when you let the fans vote. Like, they treated the Madden cover like it was American Idol. And it's like, you know, I find it funny. I think this is why we should start the Earl Boykins for All-Star game right now So next year we can get some momentum and have Earl Boykins put in the All-Star game, yo. Because when you let the fans vote, this is what can happen.
Yo.
I honestly, I'm almost at a loss for words. I don't know what to say about it because on one hand, I don't want to shat on my man Peyton because he is nice. But it's almost like the great white hype on one hand versus some organized confusion on the part of fans of other players who didn't want their player on the cover because of the curse. So I don't know whether it's...
I was just about to say that.
I'm thinking, as Mike Vick, I want to keep Mike Vick as far away from that cover as possible, even if I got to go on the cover for him.
You can't take that away from Mike Vick because dude need the money. So, you know what I mean? That was something we should have been rooting for Mike Vick to get on because he need the money. But real quick, you know, I'm surprised, but Peyton Hillis last season on 270 carries had 1,177 yards. That's a 4.4 yard average and 13 touchdowns. So, you know, he's not a slouch. He just doesn't seem like Madden cover material to me, but I digress, and I will move on from Peyton Hillis on the Madden cover. All right, NFL Stabgate. We got two NFL players who were both stabbed by their ladies within a five-day period. Of course, everybody knows the first one was Brandon Marshall, who was stabbed allegedly by his wife, and then Broncos defensive end Jason Hunter stabbed by his girlfriend like 4 or 5 days later. Both of these dudes, well, he plays for the Broncos. Brandon Marshall used to be a Bronco. Jimmy, what's up with your Broncos, man? Why they all getting poked?
Yo, and, you know, this is, yeah, basically, I have a, you know, theory because football hasn't always been a year-round sport. I mean, at this point, it's a year-round sport where guys are training and working. And what happens is their wives don't even know these guys. If you look at a lot of athletes that retire, they end up divorced when they retire. And people say, well, no, it's because the money's not coming in. I don't think it's because the money's not coming. I think it's because their wives generally don't even know who they're married to. When these guys got time off because of this whole lockout situation, their wives are like, hold up. You're nasty, sloppy. You know what I'm saying? Yo. And you know how women are. That leads to one thing, which they start arguing about stuff that happened 2 years ago. And, you know.
Yeah, I think that's why they're messing up these women's routines. Like, why are you in the house? Like, they're like, don't you have an OTA or something to go through? Like, they haven't been watching, you know, the news for the past 3-4 months about this whole labor situation. But, I guess, like, spending too much time together, things like that happen. Austin, you got a theory on this?
Yo, they need to keep their hands off the women, number one. And number two, a groupie is a groupie. And number three, I actually think there's something to what you're saying. They're marrying these arm candy broads who they don't really have a spiritual or mental connection with. And then, you know, you spend time around that person after OTAs and off season is over and it's all a memory. And it's like, man, this is the broad I married? Or this is the dude I married?
Oh, man, Rand in the chat room talking about the whole Madden cover thing. He said he should make the cover. He hasn't lost a Madden game since 92. He said 92.
Yo, shout out to you now. You cheating that. Excuse me, never mind.
All right. Jimmer. Everybody's favorite new white boy, Jimmer Fredette. He's actually going to have a reality show of him filmed, and it's basically going to chronicle, you know, how it is leading up to the NBA draft. So they're going to shoot like 100 hours of all Jimmer, and the name of the production company is Tupelo Honey Productions. They're going to shoot about 100 hours and 30 days of him and his family getting ready for the NBA draft. Y'all think this is a good idea?
Why not?
I think
everybody else got one.
True, true. This is the world we live in, and also, I mean, he can't go to class anyway, so, I mean,
might as well do something.
They ain't going to let him go to class, so he got to say keep busy, you know.
If Lil Wayne's baby mama, Lil Wayne's baby mama can get a show, why can't Jimmer get a show?
For nothing.
Real tough.
Yo, and she all right. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 7, I give her – on a scale of 1 to 10, I give her a 7. I mean, she got cake and pies and all that. But, yo, she's on TV for nothing, and she can't even speak English. But, yo, I'm not knocking her hustle, yo. Shout out to her.
Yeah.
Yo, my man Jimmer played ball and learned how to play ball in a prison system. That's my white boy, man.
Yo, first off, Lil Wayne, baby mom, she speaks Floridian, so, you know, you got to forgive her for that. But,
All right, so listen, your boy back in the news, man.
Hey, hey, hey! It's
Albert Haynesworth, he was indicted this week on those charges stemming from back, I think it was February, when he was in the W Hotel fondling tatas. They offered him a
2-1 tata reading Big Al Al.
They said if he pleads to a lesser charge of simple assault, then they'll drop the charge of sexual abuse. And him and his lawyer basically said FOH. They said they're gonna fight it. So what do y'all think Fat Al should do? Be awesome.
If they take that plea, that's open up the civil game. She's trying to get her civil game on. I mean, you know, I think the kid be beat. You know, like, I remember, like, when Barkley was filling on tatas a couple times, a couple other players felt on tatas and, you know, got away with it.
I mean, you were asking me, brother. I'm just going to say that, yo, Albert is an idiot. And if I was a Redskins fan, I'd want to see him for wasting our time and our season. But I do feel like the chick is just really taking advantage of the situation. He didn't fill her up in public, man. I've been to the W Hotel.
Actually, I'm not too sure that that's completely true, B. Austin. This is how it went down, and this is from Haynesworth. This is from his lawyer's perspective. Insisting he wanted to pay immediately, and before she could drop the dishes, Haynesworth tapped the woman on her arm and shoulder with his card, according to court papers. The waitress looked up and down at herself as if wondering where Haynesworth expected her to put the card. When he slid the card down the center of her bra and began touching her breast, the documents allege. I mean, he didn't say the part of touching her breast, but he tapped her and kind of without permission put the joint in her, you know. I always thought that it was like some kind of witch hunt. Maybe she said, you know, put it there or put it in my shirt pocket or something. And maybe
put it in my pocket.
But according to what they're saying, it doesn't sound like he really got permission to go there. But that's Albert being Albert.
Yeah.
So I laugh.
Hold up, though. my man Ben Roethlisberger can straight take the Oochie Wally and get, you know what I mean, get nothing. So he gonna get in trouble and lose a couple of dollars for, like, you know, giving the chick a card in a Cleveland. Come on, man. All
right, so last joint, real quick, because we run a little late for our PTR. Lenny Dykstra, former Philly. Yo, this guy, earlier in the month, he was trying to hire a new housekeeper, right? So he puts an ad on Craigslist. He gets one to his house. He's interviewing the chick. Tells her, yo, to be my housekeeper, you have to give me massages every once in a while. So the boy stripped down naked and told her, as a part
play
of the interview,
my wood. Take some batting practice.
He said, I need to see your skills. So he stripped down naked and expected a massage. Jimmy, what's wrong with your man?
Yo, what's wrong with Lenny Dykstra, man? Yo, I don't even know what to say right now, so I'm trying to laugh. Go ahead, Austin, because
yo.
Hurry up.
You got to take batting practice, and let me put my bat in your mitt.
Yo, all I want to say is that boy's out of pocket, man. See, this is what happened when they've been in the sport for their entire lives, and they have to leave the sport. These guys have no clue of, like, reality.
Real life.
When he was on top of the game.
Listen to this before we close this segment out. Y'all ain't got a response to this. I'm going to just tell you. Back in December, he was accused of bouncing a $1,000 check to a female escort. And in January, he was accused of sexual assault by a housekeeper who claimed that Lenny forced her to provide weekly oral sex favors. She said she did it. Listen. She said she did it because she needed the dough. But
I love the dough.
So
now we don't
like
know.
A new housekeeper because of what he did with the old one. And that's what happened this week, everybody. While y'all were on the ground.
Yo, shout out to Lenny Dykstra, yo.
Yo, it's time to pass that rock, gentlemen. Pass the rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Get your money right. And for those who listen for the first time, Pastor Rock is the starting five usually, but it's three of us today. We're going to vent on any topic we want to. And because there's only three of us, we're going to do this hoop it up style. We're not even going to, like, you know, inbound a rock. We're just going to check it up.
Check
you
it
know,
up.
I'm going to check it up right now. What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. Noam Chomsky. And I know in the past I've been very critical of the NCAA. And I guess today I'll just continue my criticism. This won't be another commentary on how players should be paid or how I think the NCAA are bigger pimps than Goldie, although I agree with both of those assertions. I understand that I'm a man of high intellect, whose mind is defined and heavily in time with Gandhi, but you don't have to be as wise as an old owl or the gold child to see kids are being exploited. Anyone who doesn't see how they are taking advantage of many student-athletes is in need of a mental health evaluation. Shout out to Ron Artest. I just wanted to give you another example of why I believe presidents of universities walk around campus with a chalice in their hands. I went to the website of the Ohio State University's football team, and guess what I saw? They are selling game-worn jerseys, cleats, game-worn pants. Now, guess how much money the athlete gets when they sell their jerseys with their numbers on it?
36,
not to mention they use their, not to mention they use their likeness on the website. You don't have to be a Price is Right expert to answer that question. I just wanted to shed light on this audacious display of pimpery and further prove that the NCAA officials are, in fact, a bunch of communists. This isn't the first and probably won't be the last time I have something to say about the NCAA. That is, unless they give me a seat at the table, which includes a chalice, and start to share their wealth with yours truly. I'm nice. And with that, I see my man Dev cutting after Austin sets the pick. So, what's up, Dev?
All right, yo, yeah, it's crazy, man. Something has to be done about that system, but, you know, we talk about it all the time. All right, so look, I'm just going to quickly revisit a topic we've already spoken about here in the War Room. If I hear one more Oklahoma City Thunder fan, hold up. How the hell does one become an Oklahoma City Thunder fan if they're not from Oklahoma City or at very least Seattle? FOH, Oklahoma City Thunder fans. I like saying Oklahoma City Thunder fans. Anyway, if I hear one more of them, hell, I'll just say it, Oklahoma City Thunder fans, claiming to now be the favorites to win the title because they now have Kendrick Perkins, I'm going to snap. Even worse, if I hear one more person say the Boston Celtics are now done because they traded Kendrick Perkins, I may catch an assault case. Why does everybody overvalue this guy? In his 17 games with the Thunder, he's averaging 5.1 points, 7.9 rebounds, and 0.9 blocks per game. And before his defenders try to defend those putrid numbers with injury excuses, his career averages are 6.4 points, 6.1 rebounds, and 1.4 blocks per game. He is a decent rebounder per minute. There is no doubt about that. He is at very best a decent to good defender. Just because you play rough at times, commit hard fouls, and then act tough about it doesn't make you a great defender. Offensively, he is straight up trash truck juice. And overall, he can't compete with the few elite big men left in the game. He can't do anything with Dwight. A healthy Yao will crack his spinal cord in two. Powell, well, everybody punks Powell until he gets revved up. Andrew Bynum will give him work when his knees are working for him. Hell, even old-ass Shaq would give him the business if his toes and fingers weren't hurting all the time. Look, I'm not saying Perk is a complete and utter bum. I'm just saying he's a bum. So for all the Oklahoma City Thunder fans who keep screaming, we have a center now, when the hell did Kendrick Perkins become better than Serge Ibaka? Or even Nazi Muhammad, for that matter. If the Oklahoma City Thunder become a championship team in the near future, it will be for way bigger reasons than the arrival of Kendrick Perkins. And if the Boston Celtics fail this year, it would also be for way bigger reasons than the departure of Kendrick Perkins. Come on, y'all. Y'all serious? And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man B. Austin, cutting to the basket off that pick he just set for me. Yo, jam that thing, homie.
Yo. I can beat Kendrick Perkins in a rumble. I don't care how mean he looks. That dude's mouth too little to have a joint with Big Tatum, too. All right, man. In a time when athletes are more concerned with their global brand and market appeal than their actual craft, in a time when athletes are just athletes, skill be damned. In a time where princess boyishness is rewarded, in a time where two grown men over 6'3 can walk down a tunnel holding hands and making smiley faces on their way out of the closet, I mean off the court, I salute Brandon Roy. He wanted to play. He wanted to compete. And when he couldn't, he cried. He cried in front of millions. He shed a tear in a packed arena because all he wanted to do was ball. All my man wanted to do was hoop. Now, I'm probably going to roast Brandon Roy later on. I'm probably going to say to one of my homies, stop roying, which would be short for crying, bitching, moaning, or shedding a tear. But really, I applaud the love and passion. And why wouldn't he cry if a dude named Rudy and another dude named Patty gets in the game in front of a three-time All-Star as nice as Brandon Roy? Well, he humbled himself. He apologized for his tomfoolery, his amateurhood, and then he proceeded to go out and massacre the Mavericks for 18 points in the fourth quarter with no knees. My man ain't got no knees, and he still put up 18 on y'all in a quarter. And to all the detractors and those showering Brandon Roy with pity for his injury or hating on him for his actions, he looked y'all dead in the eye and said, y'all must have forgot. I'm next. And with that, I finger roll, left hand, up on the other side of the rim.
Yo, and that hooping
me
up
and Brandon
crowd.
Roy, me and Brandon Roy can't jump.
That hooping up crowd goes wild. All right, real quick, we're going to take this quick break to let y'all know how y'all can get in touch with us before we get into these hot topics. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Y'all better get down before it's too late. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours or of our Facebook page at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. If you want to do all of that in one place, at any time, any place, download the War Room Sports mobile app to your Android or Apple phones or devices. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. You can get in there, holler at us all throughout the show. If you say something funny, it might get on the air. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours. All's Fair in Sports and War on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show anytime on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk to us. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And who knows, one of the War Room professors might just call on you. All right, so we're going to jump right into these hot topics.
Hey, Dev, real quick, yeah. I just want to say something real quick before you jump into that. It's funny, like, as soon as we had that little conversation, I'm on our Facebook page, and the recommended page popped up on the side. It says, you should like the Kendrick Perkins page.
Yo!
Yo, got two players on it. It says recommended pages, Kendrick Perkins and Paul Pierce. But, yo, why is he on the jaunt? It is funny because as soon as you said that, good brother, hilarious.
Facebook is the Illuminati.
And by the way, the War Room got more fans than Kendrick Perkins.
Yo, and we've spent more minutes on him the last 3 weeks than he get in any given basketball game.
Yo,
but
Kendrick Perkins, man.
Real quick, we ain't got to discuss this. I just wanted to let everybody know out there who's not a hockey fan that the NHL playoffs are just as exciting as any other playoffs you can think of. Already in the first round, 5 out of the 8 series have gone to a Game 7. The defending champ, Blackhawks, they fell short in Game 7 after coming back from being down 3-0. And we all know with us all being from Philly, that's not the one we cared about. The Flyers and the Sabres went to a Game 7, and the Flyers opened up a can and stomped a mud hole in the Sabres. And it was cool because y'all know how Philly teams always got to make it dramatic. And I didn't want, like, an overtime game. Like, my heart couldn't stand for that. Did any of y'all watch any of that game?
Jimmy watched some.
Come on. Yo, honestly, I'm going to keep it real with you. I cut in a little bit, but, yo, I don't even want to say this because I shouldn't be saying this considering we do a sports show. Yo, I cannot get into hockey. I try to force it on myself, yo, pause, but I just can't.
I love hockey, especially around the playoffs. I ain't going to front like I can sit and watch an 82-game season. But when the playoffs start, I'm bandwagon Billy.
Yeah, they got 82 games?
It's almost just like the NBA. Until the playoffs start, it's like the NFL.
I'll be there, good brother.
Yeah, they reseed in the playoffs.
I'll be at the parade. I did the parade like I rooted all season, fronting.
With your hockey shirt on, with your Flyer shirt on.
Fronting.
Yeah, they reseed like the NFL, be awesome. So they get the best matchups in every round. Well, the most fair matchups in every round. They try to get the best teams into the finals, and it still doesn't work because parity is like that. Let's get a little more into the NCAA. Jimmy touched on it a little bit earlier. I just want to talk about the Jim Tressel situation because it's popped back up in the news this week. And it seemed like a little more heat might be on Tressel, for withholding information and lying to keep his players on the field, ineligible players who had accepted improper benefits. What do y'all think is going to be his fate? Do y'all think Jim Tressel has coached his last game at Ohio State?
If more stuff keeps coming out, I think he may get fired because it's just becoming more and more embarrassing. It's to the point now where they have, text messages that he had, with his players after he found out about it. So, he got in front of the world and told us he didn't know anything about it, and he gave this whole speech about being honest. And, now people send text messages and emails and all this stuff thinking that, it's going to go away. That stuff is forever, champ.
Yeah.
So, the more stuff comes out, the worse he looks.
And you got homers, Ohio State homers, like Kirk Herbstreit kind of dogging him. Like, look, man, I forgot the prior coach's name. He's like, if this was him, he'd be lined up by firing squad. not just getting fired, but they'd do it with a firing squad.
Because this brings up a huge question. He's very successful as a football coach, but this brings to light, is it about wins and losses, or is college athletics about a lot more than that?
No, and, it's not about wins and losses. It's about dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Hey, where does that come from? That comes from wins and losses. If you stink, you ain't making no bread.
As Howard. But
whoa, shout out to your own alma mater. You taking dirty shots at them.
Yeah, gotta do what I gotta do. I'm a disgruntled, frustrated fan. But yeah, I mean it's he did something wrong, but it still goes back, even like when we're defending these players, it goes back to the rules being stupid. Because think about what all this is about. This is about some cats trying to make a couple dollars off stuff that they own. You know what I'm saying? And, I can't really not Tressel too bad because he was looking out for those cats. So, I'm not gonna knock him like it's a situation where he's snitching on players or anything like that. He was actually trying to look out for him. That's why they've been
situation, if this was a street show, you'd be like, yo, man, he's an honorable dude.
Exactly. And that's just what I'm getting at. Like, he was looking out for cats who broke rules that were stupid in the first place. And now he in the hot seat.
Loyal. Loyalty.
Who knows what's gonna happen. Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. It's going to play out. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's going to be interesting. So, all right, we all know that the federal judge, she lifted the NFL lockout, and then she denied the NFL's request. That was this morning, to put a hold on her ruling. The NFL and the owners wanted her to put a hold on the ruling because even though the lockout is lifted, they're not ready to let dudes into the facilities. They let people into the facilities when it was lifted,
but you can't work out.
I don't even know if the dudes could eat lunch in the cafeteria. So this situation just gets uglier by the day, man. So what do you guys
think? I think the judge is either A, a football fan, and she holding us fans down, or B, she don't want her husband at home in the fall on Sunday.
So she wants So she won't have to stab his ass.
Yo, I put some thought into this because, you know, as an intellectual, I always do. Yo, but anyway, I was reading a book, and it was about a crime. You say, where am I going with this? But the book was talking about how there's a certain level of crime that's necessary for society to function. Yo, football is more important to the economy than any other sport, considering the bars and the different venues which show the games on a weekly basis. Because there's only 16 games, it's like an event every weekend. So football means more than just like, you know, another sport, say like baseball. If baseball goes away, people will care, but it's not the same level as it is a football. So they're doing everything in their power to try to save the sport. Like, we need football. Can you imagine what would happen in America without football once the season starts? How many people will be affected by this, like indirectly affected by this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yo, they're trying to add more games. We're locked out at a time where they're trying to add more games because, like I said, the one thing football always has is going for it is the fact that the small amount of games.
I think the first of all, the two more games they're trying to add, I think they should just, like, kill that. I think they should just stop trying for that, just chalk that one up as a loss and try to negotiate something else. But speaking of negotiations, though, I mean, we're at a point right now where the players really just don't want to negotiate. They don't want to come back to the table, and they want everything to be done in the courts. I'm not sure if that's a good idea, but it's what they're doing is actually inspiring other leagues because did you guys hear that the NBA, they actually took a vote. And when their collective bargaining agreement runs out, they're willing to decertify. So they already took the vote from the players. So, like, if it comes to that and that's what the union head decides to do, they have permission from the players to do it now because they already took a vote. So they said they looked at what the NFL players did as a victory for all sports. So now they're thinking about decertifying if their situation gets like the NBA. I mean, gets like the NFL. So what do you guys see in the future of the NBA since, you know, all of this stuff is already coming out?
I think the NBA players are, for the most part, in a better financial situation. Also, first of all, let me say, Blueprint, great points about the extended economy that's around football because – you know, if you look at that, that's way more than $10 billion in a season. That's major.
Absolutely.
But with basketball, I think that the players' union is a little bit stronger just by virtue of the type of money they make and the type of contracts they have and the fact that the owner's revenue is a little bit different than the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, as fans, we just want everybody to get this stuff done, stop all the bickering. I know it's easier said than done because they're in situations where they feel that things aren't fair for them. The owners feel like they're in a situation where things are beginning not to be fair for them. But I want football. I want basketball. So
we all do. We all want that.
Yeah, it even has an effect on the draft tonight because you can't even make trades and – I mean, you can make trades, but you can't really make trades with a clear conscience because you don't know what the collective bargaining agreement is gonna say next year. Because one of the main things with trading tonight is that next year there may be and there should be a rookie wage scale. So
yeah.
People might be trying to hold on to their draft picks for next year tonight, and they won't be as anxious to trade them away as they usually do because that might be worth more to them next year because they don't have to pay.
Right, because of the contract.
These picks.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay
yeah.
these picks they would. So they might be trying to hold on to those things.
Yeah, and here's something else. It's funny because Nairan in the chat room made a point. Coffee77 was saying that he thinks that, you know, baseball and hockey, because they have more dates, are more crucial to the economy, which I disagree with. But Nairan says, think about the money that fantasy football generates. Like, fantasy football has become so
right.
huge in this country. You know what I mean? Like, imagine what's going to happen when there's no fantasy football. There's so much money indirectly generated
by football.
That's another three billion.
Think about how much money fantasy football generates for me personally since I win all the time. Come on, man.
Think about how much money is like directly and indirectly a result of the NFL. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you have like parties on a weekly basis. The bars, you know, there's bars that are only profitable because of the football season. No one goes 41 nights to watch baseball at a bar the way they do football. Bars are crowded. I know in inner city and major cities, like, there are a lot of bars that only function because of football. And, you know, these guys will be in trouble with no football. Football season starts, it's like a big thing. I mean, they have draft parties. I've never been to a baseball draft party in my life.
I kind of feel what Coffee 77 is saying, though, because, you know, mm-hmm. if you're going by stadium size, I mean, I think football has more avenues to which they can generate revenue. But if you're going by just sheer stadium size, you know, if you're a good team, if you're the Yankees, and I don't know what the new field holds, I'm just going to assume something like 50, 60,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, filling a 60,000-person stadium, you know, like 80-something times a year, then, you know, you're
mm-hmm.
generating a whole lot of revenue. But then you got teams
like the Florida Marlins.
You got the Florida Marlins and the Bowie Bay Sox, the AAA team in my neighborhood. They probably get more people than the Marlins do on an every night basis. But
no, and this is absolutely true. This is absolutely true in terms of revenue generated at the gate. But I'm talking about how many people are employed indirectly due to football. I mean, it's not even a direct correlation. I'm just talking about indirectly. And the Coffee says that there are tons of bars that make plenty of money off baseball, but I doubt that it's the same as football. I'm saying, like, in terms of all the different like avenues that football has a way of generating revenue, whether it be like these draft parties and these fantasy drafts. You know, there's fantasy drafts that are like huge. I've been out in Vegas during like the beginning of football season, and cats like go and have their drafts out there. Like, it's crazy the amount of money that it generates. And then in terms of gambling.
Remember, we were chilling at the sports book at the Caesars.
We were chilling at the sports book. And think about the gambling that goes on in football. Football is more gambling on football than any other sport.
Yeah. Now, that's true. It's harder to gamble on baseball because they play so many games. You never know, you know. It's hard to gamble on a team when you don't even know if they're going to be serious that night. They might be going through.
Yeah, I mean, think about the bookies that be put out of business if there's no football.
Yeah,
no doubt. Let's talk some NBA playoffs. Let's move on from this. So, first series I want to talk about real quick is the Celtics. They swept the Knicks, man. How embarrassing for the Knicks. They could have showed some pride and won one game. You know, I know Amari was, Amari was kind of hurt or whatever. But what you guys think about the Celtics just, like, wiping the floor with the Knicks, yo?
I thought the Celtics caught the Knicks at a perfect time. I really don't think the Knicks ever had a chance in the series to begin with. But I think they could have been a little more competitive. You know, they had Chauncey go down. You had Amari go down and still try to go at less than 100%. You know, there was a few games out there where it was like Carmelo and the four heartbeats. And it was, you know, it was nothing he could really do to will them to a win. The Celtics are a very talented team, albeit an old team, and they're not done because they lost Kendrick Perkins. So, you know, they just ran into a buzzsaw at the wrong time.
Awesome. Questionable whether Melo had the four heartbeats out there. They look real stiff. Look like some zombies.
Yo, I got a question for y'all. Could you imagine how lopsided it would have been if the Celtics had Kendrick Perkins?
They don't.
It could have been 48 games.
Yo, the Bulls beat the Pacers 4-1, but the Pacers did put up a good fight. You know, they played hard. Both teams played hard, my man. What you guys think about that series, the Bulls and Pacers?
I was disappointed in the effort from the other Bulls that weren't named Derrick Rose. You can't put it all on his shoulders. You know, he's not – this is the thing, and this is no knock to him because I'm a fan. He's not Michael Jordan.
Right.
You can't put all of that on dude, you know what I'm saying, in his second or third year and expect him to carry them series in and series out, not night in and night out. Yo, that was horrible for the Bulls, man.
This is my take on the whole thing. Well, this is another thing about NBA, like, the top of the conferences compared to the bottom of the conferences, there's a lot of matchups in the first round where you know that one team really doesn't have a chance because the Bulls, like you said, they didn't even play their best brand of basketball, and they still wiped the floor with these dudes in five games. They were all competitive games, but you know, I saw a lot of people kind of getting down on the Bulls team because they were struggling with the Pacers. But you got to remember, even though they're the eighth seed and they didn't really have a chance, they are an NBA team. They get paid a lot of money, too, and they do have some semblance of pride. So I'm not going to say that the Bulls aren't going to, you know, get it together and make this long run that they're supposed to make because of the Pacers series, because I already didn't think the Bulls were going to win the championship this year. But I'm just trying to tell people, you know, don't knock the Bulls because they struggle with the Pacers. I mean, it's the type of series they needed. Now they're awake. So the next
I totally agree with you. I think that in the playoffs, this is where you grow and you become a championship-type team. You need series like this. If they had walked all over them, that would have been no good for the team. You need to, like, face adversity. I mean, even if you look at, the Heatles, like, they needed that from this. They needed the Sixers to fight in the way the Sixers fought. Because in order to grow as a team, you need to I believe that you don't have this automatically just become a championship team. You have to go through these kind of things in order to get to that level. If you look at the Pistons or the Celtics or the Lakers, any championship team has to go through this to get to that level. Even the Bulls, even the Spurs, whoever you look at, they had struggles in order to get to where they were. You have to, like, have these playoff series where you have to fight tooth and nail. Playoffs is a whole different level than a regular season.
But in analyzing those games, it wasn't the fact that it was close. It was how it was close and why it was close. Yo, what was Boozer doing out there?
Yeah, Joe Budden didn't show up for that series. I mean, he was a no-show, yo.
And then Luau Deng, to me, in my opinion, Luau is a prime time player, as Dick Eat V would say. He's a PTP. And so with him being in a supporting role for Rose, there you can't have games where he's dropping 8 and 7 points and relying on Kyle Korver to fill that in.
He stepped it up at the end of the series though, and
at the end. I'm saying is that puts so much pressure on Derrick Rose, that's not a good look for the talent level that they have.
Not be down on the Bulls, though, because like Jimmy said, they need that kind of stuff. Think about LeBron and the Cavs. They went into the playoffs a couple years ago and was just wiping teams out in the beginning of the playoffs. They had, they had no challenge, and then when they got in front of a real team, they couldn't even compete. So,
yo, Luau Deng went to Duke, so you knew he wasn't going to show up.
Next.
Then again, hold on. Didn't Boozer go there, too?
Yeah.
Damn, he did, too.
Damn, I feel sorry for D-Rose. He by himself, dog. Yo, next series. The Heat and the Sixers. The Heatles and the Sixers. The Sixers fought hard, my man, but 4-1, as predicted.
Hurt my heart. That was my prediction, the Heat and 5.
Yo, me and you both.
Remember I wrote the blog a few weeks ago about Doug Collins and giving him props and how, you know, I was proud of him, but I wanted them to do something when they got in the playoffs. They fought hard. They were outmatched. You know, they really couldn't do much with the starting three of this team. But a lot of dudes on the Sixers, a lot of youngsters play with a lot of heart. And if we can do something to get one more piece, maybe a leader in here.
We got Elton Brand.
They're on their way up, man.
Yo, which school Elton Brand go to often?
Duke.
Oh, all right, never mind.
Yo, okay. My thing with that, my problem with that series, it was like watching the movie 300, and LeBron is like Artaxerxes, so, you know, it is. It is what it is. We actually showed the other teams that he can bleed. We threw the spear against his cheek. Even in that series, we were complete. Yo, Jody Meeks is my man, and he's a baller, and he's a gamer. But what's the difference between him and the boy J.J. Redknapp?
There is no difference. You're the only one who keeps saying Jody Meeks is a baller.
I already know where you got that from. It's funny because even during the series, they straight said on the broadcast, you know the Sixers will be good once they have Jody Meeks coming off the bench. I'm like, damn. This my man, like, yo, yeah, he doesn't need to be a starter in this league. Like, damn. You know, but I mean, at the end of the day, they fought hard.
I just don't think he should be, but, yeah.
And
yo,
Sweet Lou is nice. I see him being that next generation Jason Terry / Jamal Crawford, because defensively, who can he guard? Who can he guard? And LeBron needs to be ashamed of himself for accepting the assignment of Lou Williams small.
Yo, let's move on, though, so we can get ready for this draft. But
One more point, because he said LeBron should be ashamed of himself for accepting that assignment. He should be ashamed of himself for accepting the assignment of the last shot, because the only game we did get was because they gave LeBron the ball with the last seconds. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, yo, and also another thing is that boy was crying. Was it me or was he crying the whole series? Somebody should have got baby Brown a Binky. Anyway, the next series you want to talk about is the Mavericks, and they lead the Blazers 3-2. You already talked about how Brandon Roy showed his heroics, but what's your overall thoughts on this series, Dev?
I picked the Blazers in 7 in this series, but I wasn't really too confident with that pick. I had a feeling that Dallas was going to try to show everybody who doubted them, you know, that they shouldn't have doubted him. But
it's been
a very good series so far, and Dirk has been trying to show us up since it started. He's balling. But
Jimmy going to go down with that ship.
Because if you think about it, Dirk showed up one game, but that one game they lost, where was he to be found? He was playing hot potato with the Rock again. So right after I gave him props to one game, the very next game, he went back to being Dirk.
Yeah, because you gave him a shout-out after that one game. He did give him
a shout-out. And then the very next game, he went back to being Dirk. The reason why they're winning this series is because Jason Kidd must have got some noni juice up on the Fountain of Youth, because Jason Kidd
is he still that good?
Yo, the problem is Jason Kidd is crafty. Like, yo, he gets blown by. He's just so smart. When you watch him play, he just plays very intelligent. Like, this dude, like, makes all the right plays. He's, athletically, he has no athleticism at all.
On offense, but if you watch the game on offense, he looks like he could play offensively for another 12 years. Like, the way he gets buckets, it's like, it's just easy. Yeah, yo, it looks like another 12, man. Defensively, yo, they have to put him on the small forward now. But offensively, he looks real good, Pause.
Yo, the homie found a song in the youth because he is I was watching the game like, yo, first of all, I remember watching Jason Kidd play at Cal, and his jump shot was beyond broke. Now, this cat be knocking down threes. He was like Rondo. He was just like Rondo, and now he's become like the third all-time leading three-point shooter in the history of the league. How'd that happen? That means there's hope for Rondo yet. Anyway, next series, Austin and his cousin Crawford. The Hawks, they lead the Magic 3-2. What's popping with that series, you got?
If I ever get a chance to sit down with Joe Johnson for 5 minutes, I'm going to make a very strong case why he needs to cut Jamal Crawford a check, man. Yo, Jamal Crawford, yo, I'm done, man. Jamal, my cousin, y'all see it on TV. Come on, man.
Dad, what you got?
Man, I'm dumbfounded at how the Atlanta Hawks, who choke every year in the playoffs, are 3-2. On this team, they still might blow it, but
I think it's all about matchups. Yo, it's all about matchups. Yo, remember last year, the same two teams played last year, and Orlando made Atlanta look like they shouldn't even be in that damn NBA. They were smacking them.
Vince Carter and Jason Richardson exchange made that big of a difference.
But it's not even that. Remember, they're also missing Martin Gortat, who plays defense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, another big man. So. It's a lot. I mean, you know, and Gilbert Arenas looks like he didn't even want to play basketball no more. He looks like he's not even interested in basketball.
No, he hooped the other night. He had like 20, 18 or 20.
Yeah, it's just like, yo, if you watch him, his body language, he looks like he'd rather be somewhere else. Like he's not in the playoffs right now.
Well, Dwight Howard, man, he looks more frustrated every game I watch.
Every game. He's going to be in L.A. in a couple months.
Day from Central Florida, and you know they swear that Dwight's coming back and Chris Paul's coming to play with him. Yo, I don't think he wants to be there, and I think that all came to the surface when he called his teammates out like down the stretch of the regular season. He's frustrated.
The only way he will stay is if Chris Paul does come. Because if Chris Paul comes, then you know that's a he may say, okay, well if you get Chris Paul. I mean, that's a whole different ball game. Speaking of that, Lakers lead the Hornets 3-2, but Chris Paul as you know, once again, like Austin likes to say, y'all must have forgot.
Yo.
Yeah.
Chris
Game
Paul
one.
Got the eye of the tiger, yo.
Game one, like Austin said, Chris Paul just went into the Staples Center and just took a dump on everybody.
He just left one right in the middle of the court.
He went in the Staples Center and said, here, smell this. Here, smell this. He put his finger on everybody's nose.
He pretty much grabbed Derek Fisher and put him in the torture rack.
Oh, the Lakers
lead the series 3-2. So what you guys think about the series? Because we got to hurry up and move on with the drafting race start. But what you guys think about the series overall?
Yeah, well, Lakers, you know, they're going dead for a good 5 minutes, so we cool. But
Lakers too big, man.
In the end, that is going to be the dismantling of the Hornets. They had a valiant effort. And you do have to remember sometimes that you're still playing against that dude. And for a stretch of that last game, Kobe looked like he got a little upset at the Hornets.
Your man, Monty Williams is actually doing a good job, though. What you guys think about what he's doing?
I thought he was a dark horse runner-up for Coach of the Year. I didn't think he should win it, but I thought he deserved it.
What I want to say is funny is I was listening to Grant Hill talk today. He was talking about how him and Monty Williams is best friends because they was teammates. And I'm thinking, like, well, damn, you're still balling. This boy is like
Hey, Jimmy, I feel a little sorry for him, though, because as much as the success he's having now, it's all going to come to an end. The team is going to backslide once Chris Paul leaves. So
basically he's going to get treated like Byron Scott.
There you go.
Yeah, more or less. All right.
One more thing about the series, yo, because your man Derek Fisher looks like Chris Paul has six shooters and is shooting at his feet, man.
Yo, he's like leaving Powell to guard him. Like, you got him, Powell. Real quick, though, the Thunder beat the Nuggets 4-1. That's pretty much over with. Kevin Durant went out there and acted a fool last night and then went to the press conference and had a Michael Jackson 1986 outfit on, looking like a damn fool. But they did knock the Nuggets off, so I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
No, I'm going to just say,
I mean, they got Kendrick Perkins. What'd you expect?
Yeah, that's what I was really going to say. You know, they got Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah. Hey, what you expect? Yo, and now the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are making the Spurs look washed up, old, flabby, and sick. They up 3-2, and the Spurs, like, was throwing up all kinds of luck shots last night that were falling. Even Manu said it. Manu said, we didn't play like we had the heart of a champion. We basically got lucky. What you guys think about the Grizzlies and Spurs?
Yo, I was listening to the Grizzlies announcer, who's your man, Deb, Brevin Knight. Yo, they call a rebound a Z-bound. Yeah, they robbed my man Richard something terrible.
Hey, about this series, thank God for Gary Neal if you're a Spurs fan, because that series was over last night, and like Manu said, they got lucky. And number two, how's that Pau Gasol trade looking to all you fickle fans who don't understand the business of basketball? How's that Pau Gasol trade looking for them now? Don't worry.
By the way, I picked the Grizz to win in seven, so I'm hoping they can pull through because I picked them to win.
If we can interview all of the Spurs big men and ask them, yo, how does Z look up close?
Yo, my whole take from this whole series is I don't see how Mark and Pau are related, because Mark, he plays with Hart. He has a whole different ball game than Pau. Pau has all the skill in the world. But Mark plays like, yo, he don't play like he from Spain. Mark play like he from, like, Philly. Like, how about the European game? Yo, Mark Gasol has no
European. Mark play like his last name Jackson.
Yo, there's no way watching that game you can't tell me that Mark Gasol is not from 26 and Diamond. He is, because, yo, he has no European in his game, yo. He don't play like a European. He plays like Mark Jackson. He used to play for Temple. Anyway, that's enough about these series. Let's move on and talk about football. Dev, hit him with a quick media blast so we can talk some draft, because the Panthers are on the clock.
I got that. Panthers on the clock. Bums. Once again, this is how y'all can get in touch with us. Y'all can check us out at our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company or our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Become a fan of ours on Facebook, facebook.com/warroomsports, twitter.com/warroomsports. Check out our videos at warroomsportstv.com. You can do all that on our app. If you got an Android or Apple device, get our app. It's the truth. We the truth. It's nice. All right, so look, we're just going to skip the rest of this, and we're going to get into this football talk because the draft is starting, and we promised y'all we're going to give y'all some live draft coverage. And the Carolina Panthers are now on the clock.
Yo, so, real quick, I find it hilarious how every time the commissioner walks up to the podium, like they booing on Golly.
Yeah, but then they start a whole chant of we won football.
But they dissing the man that might be able to bring them, who's trying to bring them football. I don't know. I don't like Roger
Goodell. Are you looking at all the jabronis? Like, yo, Carolina Stadium is filled. You know, they sold out Bank of America Stadium to watch the draft. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about, like, yo, they're selling concessions and tickets tonight to watch the draft. Yo,
but
I'm talking about.
I don't even think it's worth that in Carolina, though, because, first of all, I don't know. I just don't think that whoever they bring in here is going to be the savior of the Panthers. So why would I spend my money and waste my time going down to the stadium?
Yo, and my thing is, they haven't won a playoff game since like 2005, yet they sell out every game. They sell out every game.
We were about to talk about the Panthers' needs, but they're about to make the pick. And here it is.
We can make that easy, Dad. They need everything.
Cam Newton goes number one in the draft. So what do you guys think about this Cam Newton pick, Austin? You think they made the right move here?
No, I think that, he's the most athletically gifted quarterback in the draft this year. He's quick. He's got a nice clean release on his ball as it comes out, pause. Arm strength is there. But the question really is he NFL ready? And will he be NFL ready even in one season? And then also you got to go, aside from that but related, they had Clawson, right? So what do you do with Clawson? I mean, Clawson had a decent season and was progressing. So essentially,
I'm not gonna call his season decent. But what I am gonna say is, who the hell was he playing with? Like,
right. Well, that was my point. It's decent. Yeah. It's decent when you consider that the talent he was surrounded with and what he had to do. I mean, you could put any quarterback in that situation.
I feel you, but I still don't rate his season as decent.
Let me finish with Cam. Footwork's sloppy. Accuracy is inconsistent, as we know, and an NFL playbook is foreign language to him.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I know. I just want to say that Carolina has so many needs that I don't see what's going to happen with this. But with that being said, I was telling Dev earlier. I was like, I think that these coaches, and I've heard a coach even say it today, he said that a lot of times they pick these guys because what's worse than picking a bad quarterback is not picking a guy that turns out to be like a superstar.
Right.
So it's like they're afraid of because he has all this athletic ability, and they're picking out of fear. Like, look, if we don't take this guy and he ends up, maximizing his talent and becoming a top quarterback of all time, then, we missed out on that. So a lot of times they pick out of fear as opposed to picking. They don't really need Cam. They need so many, so much help. What's he really going to do for Carolina, right away? Now, with that being said, they do need a franchise quarterback, and I don't think Jimmy Clausen is that. Jimmy Clausen may be a sandwich artist very soon, but I just don't know how this happened, though. I mean, Cam Newton at the end of the football season, they were talking about second, third round, and according to what you see on TV, he didn't have a great workout. This joker jumped from a second round pick to the number one pick overall. How'd that even happen?
Jimmy, his short shuttle and his jingle jangles must have been all that.
Must have been major. How does that happen? How do you go from second round to the number one pick overall?
Well, the position itself is overvalued. And then if you look at the talent at the position in the draft this year, it's weak. So now you have NFL GM saying, well, we need a quarterback, we need a franchise quarterback, and this is the best we can go with, athletic talent, and hopefully we can mold him into what we need him to be.
But do you really believe it's overvalued, the position is overvalued?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I can't say that the quarterback position.
I don't think so. I can't support that because if you look at, say, even just take a sample of the playoff teams, all the playoff teams had a quarterback, and which was a franchise quarterback they drafted, except for like the Chiefs and Eagles, and one was because of the Mike Vick situation. The other one, they traded for Castle. Outside of that, most of the quarterbacks on those playoff teams, and even if you look at winning teams, were the quarterback. If you look at the best quarterbacks in the league, the NFL, those guys were in the playoffs. I mean, the thing is, you know, it's a quarterback-heavy, you know, quarterback-heavy league at this point. You need a quarterback to win.
But listen,
I don't know about the position being a quarterback.
This is my thing here. First of all, this draft, in my opinion, is weak with quarterback talent. So
that was my point.
I still have a point on top of that. I don't think – so I'm not saying I don't think Cam Newton shouldn't have been the first quarterback taken, but I don't think he's good enough right now for me
to be the number one.
I'm not going to force a quarterback. If the quarterback for me isn't in this draft, I'm not going to force it. I'm going to take – because this is the Carolina Panthers. They, like Jimmy said, they need everything. So take something in another need area – go back to the drawing board, give Clawson another year under center. Maybe next year you're garbage again. You got a chance in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes.
That's kind of my point as well, Dev, because, you know, I'm real old school when it comes to building a football team, because I learned under Buddy and I learned under Andy, and you build from the inside out. You get your fat boys right, and then you go get your talent through free agency.
Right.
You know, this
but
is
you
wasting.
still need that quarterback.
If you ain't got the line to protect him, he's just gonna have a broken leg and a broken body.
No, I totally get that. And you know, Buddy and Andy ain't got no jewelry. But with that being said, you need that quarterback. But I'm not saying that I agree with the pick, so to speak. I'm just saying that I think that you do need a quarterback. I don't understand how he – like, that's still amazing to me. This Joker jumped from the second round to the first pick. What did he do to make him – like, based on what they tell us, his workouts weren't that great. John Gruden put him on blast. He can't read a playbook.
You know what? Because I don't want to waste the whole time talking about Cam, but you saying how did it happen? Come on, man. You got Cecil on his side. What's wrong with you?
Shout out to my man CEO. Cecil Newton, the power broker.
Let's move on to the Broncos because, you know, Jimmy of the War Room, this is his team. So let's talk about what the Broncos need.
Do you want them to go with this pick? Here's what I say. I say there's a couple of defensive players out there, and everybody talks about Patrick Peterson, which I agree. But, you know, not to switch with my argument, but I would go with Marcell Dareus, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, because – We get run on ungodly, and it's like right at us. You need a big boy up there that's to stop all that. You know, not so much to get sacks or whatever, you know, just somebody to put up a wall and stop that. And I think that this is the best defensive tackle, in my opinion. And I think he may be the most complete player in terms of all the defensive tackles.
I think that's a fact. The dude has no weaknesses. He has no weakness in his game other than stamina. He played in a system where they rotated him, so he wasn't on the
field.
But see,
the other thing is you also have Von Miller, who like plays linebacker. So, and we could use that too. We need something to stop people from just pounding a rock on us.
Right.
So for me, it would either be Von Miller or Marcell Dareus. We need a defensive presence, like, forget the quarterback situation.
Von Miller is in straight prayer mode right now. Yo, he must have gotten a call because he looked like he's crying. So here comes.
I mean, I would have rather Marcell Dareus. I don't think that's a bad pick, though, because, like, we need help at linebacker, too. Our defense has just gotten, like, you know.
Is Doomerville going to return to form?
Is who?
Elvis Doomerville.
Better, you got that chase hopefully, last year.
Yeah, hopefully so. And if he does, and now we have another nice young linebacker, then, you know.
This dude right here
is an elite pass rusher. Go ahead.
Let me interject real quick. Do you see the emotion that this dude is expressing right now? Like, he hasn't even gotten up yet because he got to get himself together. Now, can you imagine 3 weeks ago, the Players Association had the nerve to try to get these guys to forego this moment? Like, are you serious?
They made an error.
Like, come on, man. You couldn't ask somebody not to have this moment, man. His family about to – come on, man. They moving up to the east side, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well,
yo, what's up? Yo,
me,
shout out to all the jokers that come out with the preppy look. All these dudes came out with their little glasses on tonight, trying to get their Wanye Morris on their preppy joke.
Let me rap about Vaughn real quick. 6'3", 250, ran a 4.5 bench press, 225, 21 reps. Vert was 37 inches. Broad jump was 126 inches. Did his short shuttle in 4.06. Did his 60-yard shuttle in 11.15.
So he's basically a manimal.
Yeah, he's a manimal. All the strengths, we already know the strengths. I mean, he's lightning in a bottle. Weaknesses, they question whether he's going to be able to disengage with offensive tackles because he is a little light, and he takes poor angles in run support. So he's good at getting to the quarterback, but does he want to run up in there and hit Mark Ingram is the question. And
you
then
know what's
dropping,
funny is,
dropping into coverage, he has very limited experience covering tight ends and slots.
That's what I was going to say. Fast
Yo,
enough
those
to
are the same.
Ends, he doesn't have experience covering tight ends.
Yeah,
he
those are the same weaknesses. Those are the same weaknesses, if you remember, that they said Ray Lewis had coming out of the U. Not that I'm comparing
right.
him to Ray Lewis. I would never compare anybody to Ray Lewis. That's my uncle. But I'm just saying, those are the same weaknesses that they said Ray had. Could he get off of offensive tackles? You know, he's too small. Those
right.
are the same things they
but
said
at
about
the same
Ray
time,
Lewis.
Jimmy, since Ray Lewis was in the middle, Buffalo always kept some hogs. I mean, the Ravens always kept some hogs up front.
Keep the blockers
yeah.
off of them. Yeah.
But hopefully
yeah,
later
on
we can
outside.
Grab us one of the we can get us some fat boys later on and put them in the middle to you know do that. Yo, I just want to make a comment real quick. I want to know in terms of this draft overall, like yo, these jokers be dressed to the hilt these days. I remember watching the draft in the past and like yo, these dudes back in the day, cats of the draft had poor sartorial taste. They used to come in with like burgundy tuxedos.
Right.
Where these cats getting? Where these jokers getting his bread from to get these brand new suits?
Did you see Deion Sanders at the draft? He looked like Mr. T with like 14 gold chains on. He had a jerry curl, and he was already
yo.
Talking funny. Yo, he was.
You remember Karl Malone at the draft? Karl Malone had him the tux with the Akil Bayon tail on his jaw. Shout out to Doc Bay.
One of the looked like his tie was too short.
Yo, his jaw was like red with a short tie on. I'm like, yo, but these days jokers come with like, yeah, I mean the brand new corporate suits. Where they getting this brand from, Austin?
So I got a Jimmy, I got an overall board here. I mean, really,
okay.
I just made like a list of maybe like the top 10 overall players in the draft,
mm-hmm.
and nobody from my top two is gone in these top two picks. I, of course, like most people, I had Patrick Peterson up front.
He is consensus. He is the best player.
I had Marcel Darius at 2, Nick Fairley at 3, Von Miller, who just went 2nd. I had him going.
At 4.
Well, not going. I just had him as the 4th best player in the draft.
Okay.
And Julio Jones, the receiver from Bama, Daquan Bowers, A.J. Green, Robert Quinn, Tyron Smith, and then Prince Amukamara, cornerback from Nebraska. So that's my top 10 on my big board. To hell with Mel Kiper. I do this for a living. But,
yo, my question is this, though. Like, I found it amazing also how Cam Newton as well as, like, Nick Fairley, and they were, like, dominant this year in college football. But if you really look at it, they only have, like, 1 year of production.
Right.
Like, Nick Fairley was there the year before, and, like, you know, did nothing. And Cam, you know, was in JUCO. Like, these dudes have 1 year of production, and now they're, like, top 10 picks. That's just crazy to me.
I guess that's all it takes. Special the other night, and he was giving off his draft secrets from when he was doing it, and he had a list of criteria for the quarterbacks, and one of the criteria on his list was he had to start 30 games in college, and he had to win at least 23 games in college. So Mike Tirico even asked him, like, well, you would have to scrap Cam from your whole thing. He was like, well, yeah, you have certain situations like this where players are coming in, and they only really have 1 year in the program. That's why taking these kind of guys is a gamble if you're trying to stick to your system. So
it's crazy.
Like you said, you have 1 good year and you climb that far up the charts. More power to the brother. I hope all the stuff that he said, John Gruden, I hope he means it. I hope he really works that hard. But until then, I think the jury is still out.
Yeah, we shall see. Like I said, only time will tell. A lot of times when you're critical of Cam, people will say, you're hating and you're this. I actually wish the brother well. It's just that if it was me, I wouldn't take him at this point. But who knows? You never know. If he's able to put the work in, like he says he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at Mike Vick. Mike Vick like became a quarterback this season, if you ask me. People always talk about Mike Vick in Atlanta. Mike Vick was garbage in Atlanta. Once he learned to take the game serious, he became the ultimate weapon. So it's all about, you know. Why does Bo have an ice top record like that?
Your top ten, I'm going, Patrick Peterson, Marcell Dareus, A.J. Green is my number three. Von Miller was my
Brad.
Number four.
Marcell Dareus on the phone, so you know what's next.
What's happening, yeah. Cameron Jordan. Okay, hold on. We're selecting now.
Yeah, they got Marcell Dareus, defensive tackle from Alabama. He was second on my overall board. What do you guys think of this pick?
I think it's a great pick. I think it's a great pick.
I think he fits. He is so dominant and so talented. He fits in anybody's scheme. And he has essentially, as I said, I was telling Jimmy, he has no weaknesses in his game. The only question is game stamina, and all that is conditioning. I mean, he can play in a 3-4. He can play in a 4-3. He can play D-tackle. He can play D-end in a 3-4. I mean, dude is special.
You know, I'm actually glad to see that the Bills didn't kind of fold to the pressure and take a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, not like you were saying, I'm not saying I'm overvaluing the position or anything, but they have a little something that they could work with if they don't get a quarterback early in the draft. You know, you could still get something in the early rounds, or if you wanted to go later rounds and just see if you can develop someone. But the Bills,
I actually had him in our chat room. Naran said that he had him number one overall, as did I. So I think it's a good pick. And I think I'll be a good fit in Buffalo. You know, blue collar city, get you a nice big guy in there. I just want to know where he got the iced out braid for that, though. Where he get that from? Explain that to me.
He has several
money. Big money, Ed.
Look at his watch. He got the watch in the boot.
I think it was a difficult decision for the Bills, though, because they were 25th offensively and 24th defensively. So they could have gone either way with this. But I think you kind of make the right decision to go defense if there's a question. Yeah, he's a beast. Oh, look at his highlights. I mean, I know these are the highlights, but.
Yeah. Let's talk about Marcell. 6'3", 319. We don't care about his arm length and hand size. 40 time was 4.93 at 319 pounds. That's phenomenal. Bench press, 225, 24 times. That's okay. Vertical was 27 inches. Didn't do the broad jump. He said, I'm 320. I don't broad jump. Three cone was 7.8. Short shuttle was 4.6. Rare blend of size and speed. Y'all can know and see the strengths. Weaknesses. Really, the analysts have no flaws in his game. He can play D end in a 3-4. He can play D tackle in a 4-3. The question becomes stamina. Yeah, stamina, man. That's it. Comparing him athletically to B.J. Raji, another big guy with tremendous athleticism.
Hey, you saw B.J. Raji in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Is his only question. Man, I wish he could come to Philly because, you know, we do the defensive tackle shuffle anyway. So nobody has to play the whole game. I don't know if Buffalo is deep enough to be able to do that. I mean, at this point, I don't know if we're deep enough to do it, but we do it.
At his age, for them to say stamina, all that means is, damn, we couldn't find nothing, so we just going to write something.
Yeah, we got to write
nothing wrong with the dude.
So
ain't nothing wrong with the dude.
Marcell Dareus stands. Hey, let's move, because this is an interesting one coming up, because the Bengals are on the clock. Now, we all know about the whole Carson Palmer situation where he says he's never going to take another snap for the Cincinnati Bengals, so trade me, release me, or I'm retiring. So does that put pressure on them to take a quarterback? Because if not, who are they going to have to get a range to, Jordan Palmer?
Yeah, I think they may go receiver or quarterback. I think it's quarterback or receiver here. We shall see.
They made that quick.
You know, they wanted somebody. They had the eye on somebody already. Yeah.
They got a wide receiver. That's one of their needs.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried to Tio Chocinco.
Yeah.
So let me ask y'all this: does this solidify and seal the deal for Ocho Cinco? He's done.
I don't know. I
they
don't
got
know
Jordan. They got Jordan Shipley. They got
I mean,
the other boy.
It seals the deal definitely on the T.O. era, but Ocho Cinco, it might not be a deal sealer, but it might be like, okay, your time is close. So we're getting these young guys around you, so when you do leave, it's going to be a seamless transition. But if Carson Palmer doesn't come back,
I think Marv
come back, it doesn't matter who they have on the outside.
I think Marv is tired of him. Strengths, you know, he's got prototypical height, huge catch radius. He can stretch and get the ball from anywhere. Good speed for his size. Big play threat, of course, in college. The question is on his frame, does he possess adequate bulk? In press coverage, he gets held up a lot. You know, if you can put your hands on him, if you can lay hands on the young man, sometimes he's, you know, he might get his trash can bent up. So at height-wise, he's 6'4", 211 pounds, good arm length, good hand size, ran a 4.5 40. That was my time. He's not that fast. But, you know, whatever. Bench press 225 18 times, 34.5-inch vertical, 126-inch broad jump, 6'9 in the three-cone, 4.2 in the short shuttle, 11.4 in the long shuttle. And
Real quick, though, this just in. A.J. Green said he's never playing for the Bengals again, and he's never played there yet.
I just want to throw this out there real quick. If anybody wants to call in and give their thoughts on any of the picks or anything you think is going to go down in the draft, if you just got anything about the draft on your mind, give us a call. That number is 323-410-0012. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Okay, so that was quick speculation. They didn't go quarterback. At least not yet.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're going to...
I didn't finish my...
Like
I didn't
go
finish.
Ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Cardinals on the clock. I didn't finish my top 10. I was at number 6. Prince Amukamara at 6. Number 7 is Julio Jones. Number 8 is Alden Smith. Number 9 is Nick Fairley from Auburn, Cam's boy. Number 10 is Anthony Costanzo. And 11 is Jimmy Smith. I just brought 11 up because it's a good number.
I heard from our Philly correspondent in Iran that there's talk in Philly that, you know, if Jimmy Smith falls to number 23, then it might be a wrap. The Eagles might take him. We need Dimitri Patterson.
Need some
stir fry. Boop, 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 boop.
All right,
real quick, though. We all got Rod Tidwell at.
Rod Tidwell is going to the Cardinals. With the first play. I mean, with the first pick in the draft, the Cardinals, who are on the clock right now. I got my man Rod Tidwell going there.
Yo, Rod Tidwell ran a 4.1 40. He benched 225 37 times, which was a record for a receiver. Ran his short shuttle in 2 seconds flat. Ran his long shuttle in 5 seconds. And had a 48-inch vertical. I mean,
yo,
the people natural.
Hey, Austin, then he told you this.
Show me the money!
Hey, Jimmy, we got a call on the line. You want to take that?
No doubt. Brent Easley, what's popping?
Did I get drafted yet? I just woke up.
Nah, man.
Nah.
Go back to sleep. You're
going in the eighth. You're going in the eighth round.
You might go tomorrow,
man. When you get drafted, we all going to eat, so we're going to let you know.
No, I just wanted to say what's up. I forgot all about the draft, but I saw that Cam Newton went number one. Checked on my phone.
What you think about that, though?
Answer
me a question real quick, Brent. How does a guy go from being like a third or a second round pick to jumping all the way up to be number one?
I told him.
When you have a season like he did last year, then that's how you become the number one pick in the draft. So, I mean,
no, what I'm saying is after the college football season, they were talking about him being a second round pick, and I don't know what happened in between now and then, but he jumped from being a second round pick to the first pick of the draft.
I think it was a combination.
Didn't he count like 50 touchdowns last year, like running and passing?
No, but I'm not talking about forget. I know what he did in college, but do you remember at the end of the season there was speculation that he would be a second-round pick? Everybody said he's not a first-round talent, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he's jumped ahead of everybody.
Actually, I don't remember that. I actually remember them saying that Fairley was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft, but I don't know what happened to him. Talk about his status on how he dropped from the number one pick on down. Because a guy from Alabama passed him as one of the top deep tackles. Like, I mean, what happened to him? That's a good question to ask, too.
Cam jumped higher than he dropped. But go ahead, though, Austin.
We received a report that the machine, Patrick Peterson, is going to be picked by the Cards.
The Eagles ain't pick him?
Patrick Peterson? Don't I wish.
All right, the Cardinals though.
He'd have to beat out Dimitri Patterson though.
Yo,
I saw that too. Dimitri Patterson isn't that bad, man. Y'all can't giving them legendary status by giving them a nickname already. He ain't that bad.
Hold up, Easley. He gave Kenny Britt legendary status, so that's not our fault. Pick up the Cardinals too. Hold on.
He did do that in that Tennessee game. He did do that. But I played that with the defensive coordinator. The defensive coordinator should have helped him out.
Yo,
he knew he was having a bad game, so
Kenny
he should have helped him out.
Oh, man, Patrick Peterson looked like he went and got a light foot.
Yeah, he got a die job real heavy. But, yo, Austin, I'm not Austin. Brent, real quick, though. The one thing I can say is, like, Izell to this day won't say that he ever got burnt. He had confidence. Your boy, Stir Fry, when he gets burnt,
he Stir Fry down.
He
goes ahead and cries.
He be crying.
How's he my boy all of a sudden?
You defended him. You said Stir Fry is good.
I mean, because making see like the guy's that bad. He's not that bad. Like, you know, he's not a great cornerback. He's average, but he ain't bad.
Did you see the Titans game?
I saw that game. Yes, I did.
Did you see everything?
No, Brent, let me keep it 100 with you. Kenny Britt got 1/10 of what his career yardage will end up being on that day.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
Actually,
everybody has a bad game, man. Even the best players have a bad game.
Hey, I can't quote who actually wrote the article, but it was around like week 11 last season. They came out with an article of the best cornerback tandems in the league, and actually had Asante Samuel and Dimitri Patterson at number 3 at that time. That was before the Tennessee game.
Wow.
After the Tennessee game, they went to like 33.
Man, family, I want to talk about my man Peterson, man. I don't want to talk about that bum no more, man.
One last thing, Austin. Your boy Stir Fry gives the 8-yard cushion at the 1-yard line. That's all I got to say.
All right, a quick question before you, Austin, before you go into Patrick Peterson or whatever. I don't mean to go off the tangent real fast, but I brought this up to Dev, and I'm just getting on now because I just got home, but quick question about the Phillies. Can I ask you a question about the Phillies real fast?
Yeah,
go ahead. Let's talk baseball. Go ahead.
Cool. Are we getting – the Phillies just got off a 7-game road trip, right? They played San Diego and they played Arizona. They went 5-2. They lost the last two out of three to Arizona, but they went 5-2 on the road trip. Are we getting spoiled as fans even when they do well on the road trip?
I think we are because – when you asked me that, when we were talking earlier, I told you I was still upset with the record because of the two games we lost. It was to the Diamondbacks. So if the Diamondbacks are on the schedule, then it probably should be an undefeated road trip. But we are getting spoiled because back in the day.
Can we turn it into Red Sox fans?
Yeah, back in the day, that road trip would have been like 1-5, 1-6.
Yeah.
And we'd be upset.
All right.
Yo, Red Sox fans act like they have never had losing seasons. Like, yo, so basically you're saying that's what we're turning into.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is this, that you're going to have bumps in the road during the season. Like, you may lose 2 out of 3 to the Nationals or
it's 6,000 games, y'all. They're going to have their bumps. It's like 6,600 games before the playoffs start.
Leave it to our baseball correspondent to steal the
Thunder.
I know
you're calling changes. Hey, Brent, thanks for your call, man. Let Austin get back to his vitals for Patrick Peters before he snap on.
Yeah,
he's on HGH too, so I just wanted to let you know that in the clear and the creams, but I'm
going
to let that.
I believe it.
We have
a good Patrick Peterson. The monstrous machine. All right. 16,
Julio going next. Go ahead.
219 pounds on the corner. Ran a 4.3 4.40. Did 225 15 times. Had a 38-inch vertical, 126-inch broad jump. 6.5 3-cone, 4-second 20-yard shuttle, and 11-second 60-yard shuttle. Okay, now the strengths. You've heard them all. Terrific footwork, hip fluidity. He mirrors his man in coverage. Strong press. Obviously, the bull is as big as a mini linebacker. So if he gets his hands on you, you're going to have a problem. loves to break on the ball. The question that they have with him is he's got great straight line speed, but does he have that elite recovery speed, meaning in a 5-yard burst, can he get back with you and close the gap? He's a little over-aggressive because he knows how good he is, so he jumps on double moves because he's trying to get to that rock and take it back to the house.
As far as that 5-yard burst that you were talking about, to get back, like when you might have been lost on a move,
mm-hmm.
who in the league now do you think is the best at that?
Now, Aqib
Talib.
Prime is the model. Like when you're studying up late at night or early in the morning, that's who you look at. But right now, Aqib Talib down in Tampa Bay, he's elite. It was Champ. I think Champ has fallen off a little bit. I would go Aqib Talib first. Then Julio Jones is not a nice-looking young man. That
hey,
boy
Jimmy.
Has a
problem.
No. Did we miss a trade? Because why is the Falcons on the clock?
They traded up.
Was that the Browns?
Falcons get the 6th overall pick. Yeah,
that was the Browns.
The Browns like, look, man, we got Peyton Hillis. We don't need these first-round picks.
They stockpiling picks.
But yeah, back to answering that question. Aqib Talib, Aqib and the boy Nnamdi Asamoah.
I feel you. Hey, listen, Brad. And Jimmy. Matt Ryan got Roddy White, Julio Jones on the other side now. Does their passing game get more dangerous?
Look at your man's suit.
He looked like bang, bang, bang.
What's up with your man's hair, though?
Yeah.
Yo, what's up with your man's face and upper bite?
Yo, is that
his dreads are trash.
Yo, his dad look like this boy right here.
Calling the police.
But does that make how formidable does that make the Atlanta Falcons passing game? Julio Jones.
That's mean. That's mean, man.
Yeah, it's tough. They
that's
still
mean
got
on
old head playing tight end.
Mean on paper though. Julio Jones to be such a great receiver, he kind of got the dropsies at times, but
so do T.O.
No.
So let me get into these numbers. 6'3", 220 pounds, ran a 4.39, threw up 225 17 times, had a 39-inch vertical, 135-inch broad jump, 6'6'6" in the 3-cone drill. He a demon around them cones. 4.25 in the 20-yard shuttle and 11 seconds in the 60-yard. As y'all said, we'll skip the good stuff and go to the bad. Will drop the routine pass on occasion.
And he body
catches. So he doesn't use his hands as well as he'll need to at the next level.
That's funny. That's exactly what I was about to say, because they just showed his highlight package. And Jimmy did mention T.O.'s name. And he kind of reminded me of T.O. with a lot of his catches, because he was muscling the catches in with his hands and his body instead of just, you know, getting his Larry Fitzgerald on. So, you know, a lot of
I
want to
know what's up with them horrible dreads, yo. Come on, man. What's up with that, man?
I mean,
they're horrible. They're in the middle of
his head. With his mouth wide open like, yo, the hell with the fuck.
And his root, is the other thing about his game, before we get to how ugly the boy is his route running. His route running is questionable. So he has some problems getting in and out of the break. So a guy like Patrick Peterson is going to have a field day with him because he's going to be able to mirror.
Yo, I learned one thing over the course of this last 40 minutes, and it's that Austin has a man crush on Patrick Peterson, yo. That's his new nephew.
He keeps bringing the ball back up.
Every time we talk about it, somehow Patrick Peterson name come up. I guess that's your homie, huh?
Yo, it's been a long time since I had the opportunity to enjoy a good corner play.
Yeah.
I heard that. That's what's up, though. That's what's up.
So, fellas, the 49ers are now on the clock. And I know Jimmy has beef with the 49ers because he picked them last year to be a sleeper team. Not to win anything, but to be a sleeper team. And they were asleep. They never woke up.
Absolutely. Yo, funny thing is, I actually had them getting Peterson at this pick, but, you know, Brad's cousin, but he's gone now. So the Niners have a lot of needs as well, one being quarterback. But with that team where they are or appear to be in terms of talent, are you taking quarterback now? I mean, you know, who's the next quarterback you got coming off the board? You got Blaine?
I think their biggest need might be in the secondary. I think they might go cornerback or safety with this pick.
Well, that's why I thought they would get Peterson, but now Peterson's gone. So who do you have as the next best player in the secondary at this point?
For me, if we go on cornerback, we got Prince. I'm a Kamara. Yeah.
From the Browns.
Yeah. So I think they may go secondary, and I think that may be the pick. Because I'm thinking there really aren't any safeties that anybody has in a consensus top 10. So if you have this pick at 7 and you are going to go secondary, then you might as well go with somebody who everybody thinks is a top 10.
Safeties get no love in football, yo. If you look at where they're drafted, and then you look at the Hall of Fame, there's like 3 safeties in all. Yo, safeties get no love. Yo, they don't. Safeties get no love. Like, yo, overall, safeties don't get picked high. They don't go to the Hall. Yo, safeties get no love. But anyway, I think they do need help in the secondary. I thought Peterson will fall to them, but I guess you're right.
I think Alex Smith may have shown just enough last year to maybe get one more chance.
I'm going to tell you the scenario I see and the reason why I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. They are good enough at certain spots on the field with enough veterans to say, listen, we're trying to win now. We're not trying to waste Patrick Willis.
I agree with that.
On the time it would take to develop a QB, and they're willing to give Fat Andy anything he wants for the bull corn on the cob.
Question is this, though. How do you feel as a coach when you leave college and come to the pros and the quarterback you had last year in college is better than the one you're walking into?
Yo, they went a totally different direction. They like, the hell with the secondary. We want to get some pressure on the quarterback, so our secondary doesn't have to cover too much. So they picked
that's
out
why they losing.
The defensive end out of Missouri.
No, you know what, Jimmy? I never argue with a pick of a quality lineman.
Assuming you believe he's quality. I don't even think he's the best defensive end out there.
You think he's quality because he's on most boards, he's like maybe the 6th best defensive end on most boards.
I had him as the third, third. He's 6'4", 260, 263 rather. Ran a 4.78 40. That's respectable. Threw up 225, 20 times, 34-inch vertical, 118-inch broad jump, 7.19 in the 3-cone, 4.5 in the short shuttle. Since we tearing him down, I give some strength, outstanding height and length, pause, to go along with good speed, very smooth athlete, pause. For his size, pause again, can get to the passer with a variety of moves, impressive agility, and fast hands. Can be disruptive against the run when he gets into the backfield. Has the range to make plays on the backside of the D. Weakness, needs to add some size. I even need to say it. Really needs to watch his pad level because he plays a little too high, which means playing against NFL linemen, they're going to push him around.
86 negative. Austin, let me ask you a question real quick.
No,
let me ask you a question. You said you had him at number three. Who would you have ahead of him?
Cameron Jordan. Cameron Jordan. And I actually.
Robert Quinn. The thing is,
I have Von Miller. I don't consider Von Miller a linebacker. I think they're going to put 10 or 15 pounds on him and play him with his hand down. So that's my number one DN. I don't call him a linebacker.
Actually, I'm sorry. Yeah, but for me, it was between Robert Quinn and Daquan Bowers. Daquan Bowers was kind of he ran a 4.940. I mean, I really don't know what that means as far as rushing the passer, because as far as you got to go from your stance to the passer, you're not going to get into your 40 speed anyway. So my first on the board.
Those numbers are overrated. We all know that. But that was my point. My point, Austin, was you said you'll never go against a quality line pick, but I don't even think he was the best available. So I will knock it. The hell with him.
There was only one available that I had over him. Because, again, most people consider Von Miller – a linebacker. I don't. I consider him a down DN.
Nick Fairley. It's like, now I assume they was going to take it. Who knows?
They went quarterback. They went Jake Locker.
Jake Locker.
Wow. Do you guys think they had to do that with Vince Young being jettisoned from the plantation?
Vince Young was thrown away. But I didn't think they
Broncos
would go Jake Locker.
Don't look happy about that. They want Jake.
I thought they was gonna go Nick Fairley, and that was my little conspiracy theory, because the Titans hired Tracy Rocker as their defensive line coach, and he was a defensive line coach in Auburn last year. So I was like on my little research. So that's my conspiracy. It would go Nick Fairley, but obviously that don't mean anything. It's that whole quarterback thing. They feel as though you need a quarterback.
Jake Locker has a monster arm and a noodle for a brain. And a lion heart.
He's showing the highlights. He can get out and move if he has to.
No, but the problem with that, Dev, the problem is that's college. And he's not. What he's doing right now, he's not going to do that in the NFL. And when you put your head down.
Everybody's fast. Back then.
Right.
But what was his 40 time at the combine?
Hold on. I have to refer to my board.
Yo, I tell you one thing. I agree
My man got the dry erase board with all his numbers and stats, chilling up in the studio.
Dev, I agree with you in terms of the different types of speed going from college to the pros. That is unless you play in the SEC. That is, if you play in the SEC, that's damn near like playing the pros because everybody's on HGH and they all getting paid to play. So that's a little different. But he wasn't in the SEC, so therefore,
Yo, is it me or do Mel Kiper looked like Rocky from Rocky III with his hairstyle. he ran like a 4.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good,
actually. Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, 4.6. 4.6. Yeah, that's not going to – he's not getting away from the Brian Urlachers of the world and the Ray Lewis's. Because if you think about it, rare athletes have been – found to get injured playing that way. I mean, Mike Vick is as fast as they come, and you saw what we did to him in 2004 and what happened to him playing for us.
But
so.
The only thing I can say to combat what you just said, though, is when you have that rare athlete like Mike Vick, he's going to take off and run more. I mean, when we did that to Mike Vick when he was in Atlanta, he was a one-read quarterback. So he'd go through one progression, and then he was out. Now, I'm pretty sure Jake Locker is not – I'm sure he's not a retard, as they would say in The Hangover. He's not a retard, so he's not going to think he's good enough athletically to go one read and then take off. It's not going to be that.
No,
according to Austin, he's a mental midget. But, real quick, Ran in our chat room brought up a great point. Last year, Jake Locker was the consensus number one overall pick in the entire draft, but he decided to come back for another season, and, he kind of dropped.
I'll be honest and keep it real. I didn't have Jake Locker in my top 32. I had him going in the second round.
Second round.
Mm-hmm.
This year?
Yeah. I thought that the quarterback class this year was kind of weak, so I didn't really think teams were going to be so pressed to jump out there and get one. Like, don't spend all your first-round money and guarantee these dudes contracts because you still got to do that. There's no rookie wage scale yet. So you're
right.
Jumping out there and you're paying these dudes. And
but, you know, it goes back to what we said about Cam. It's that whole fear of not grabbing one. It's like,
right.
It's that whole fear. I guess I should call this the Tom Brady theory. Cats don't want to pass. Cats do not want to pass on a guy. Quarterbacks get drafted off potential, not so much production. You know what I mean? Like, to be a defensive lineman, you know, you got to put in work. As a quarterback, you show flashes, and they automatically putting you in the first round. You watch college football on Saturdays. A dude can have one good quarter. Next thing you know, they start talking about his draft status.
Jamarcus Russell.
You remember in the beginning of the season, all the hype was around the quarterback from Michigan, and you just forgot he existed.
Exactly.
You forgot he existed. He was having games where he was throwing for a lot of yards, rushing
for a
lot of yards.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dev, because you bring something up. And Iran just said that he thought that the wage cap is going to be in place. These guys they signed tonight, they're going to fall under the new CBA, right? I mean, they're not going to get the same guaranteed money. Is that correct?
I keep thinking in terms of next year. But yeah, this would fall under the new CBA.
Yeah, this is under the new one. So actually.
Are going to get.
Maybe that's why they're picking quarterbacks, because they know they ain't got to pay the normal rates.
Well, they don't have a deal yet, so I don't know.
This is true. Cam Newton probably going to get like $300 a week, and you know what I mean, a pack of hot dogs. and a Lenny Dykstra, homemaker for him.
Yeah. Yeah. But who's on the clock now? We got who just picked? Oh, the Cowboys.
Yo, I know we talking draft, but another shout out to my man Lenny Dykstra, man.
He keep it real, man. He keep it funky. He tell you what he want, and he expect
to keep it 100.
So
Doc Vegas, Dallas Cowboys on the clock.
Yeah, for those who are listening for the first time, one of our co-hosts who's not here tonight, he's a Cowboy fan. He's a resident Cowboy fan. So we didn't even get his opinion on what he wanted for his team to do in his draft. But the Cowboys.
I'm gonna tell him what he's gonna get.
Even though they were 6-10, they were still seventh offensively. They were 23rd defensively, and their needs are like defensive end, safety, cornerback, and offensive tackle. I'm thinking the Cowboys need to address the secondary. But being an Eagles fan, I hope that they don't address what I think they need the most. I hope they go out and get another glamour player on offense because that's what they like to do.
I got him picking the tackle, Tyron Smith.
Yo,
I got him picking glamour on Blaine Gabbert as if.
Yeah, I got him picking the same exact player, Austin, just because I think you got to go tackle to keep Tony Romo from getting destroyed.
Man, they pick Blaine Gabbert. I might die on the air laughing so hard.
Yo, my man, Jerry Jones is all about marketing, man. He knows how to draw attention and just do things he shouldn't do. But guess what? That's why he makes so much money. The Cowboys may not win nothing, but Jerry Jones is gonna be profitable.
Hey,
even if he gotta put seats in the Super Bowl that shouldn't be there, he's gonna make his bread.
We got our correspondent in the chat room. Let us know what they were saying about Blaine Gabbert, because I don't have the monitor up. I don't have the volume up because, it interfered with the microphone. So are they saying that Blaine Gabbert has some kind of connection with this Cowboys pick, or are they just talking about why he's still on the board? Hit us in the chat room if you know the answer to that.
If Blaine Gabbert don't stop fixing his hair, I'm going to smack him.
He said they got to draft Jessica Simpson because since she left, Romo hasn't been the same. I say the Cowboys need to go with Prince Amon Kamara, but I hope they don't.
So I think they should go tackle to try to keep Tony Romo upright. Like they gotta go tackle here. Need somebody to protect that dude.
Yeah, because he did get blasted last year. But
Tyron Smith out of USC.
I got him picking Tyron. Jerry Jones got a man crush on Tyron.
He's taking it down to the wire, I tell you that.
That's Jerry Jones, flair for the dramatic.
Yeah,
and told him don't pick until the last second.
He probably just traded up. He just probably just traded for the draft rights to Cam Newton. Yo, why Gruden got to be frowning and scowling like that all the time?
Yo, he's scowling because he's mad that his man Blaine Gabbert dropped.
He's mad because he didn't get a chance to get a piece of each quarterback drafted.
Whoa!
He had them all on the special.
Paul. Yo, let me see.
They are really taking this pick to the wire. And, folks, we're only going to be with you for like another 3-4 minutes here as we're going off.
We got enough time.
Here's your pick.
We got enough time to do the Cowboys pick.
Okay.
I finally got a pick right.
Damn,
right before we get off air.
I don't want them to block. I know some Cowboy fans who probably wouldn't be happy with this pick because they don't understand the intricacies of the game of football.
Dallas Cowboys fans have low IQs, is what you're saying.
this is a great pick for the Cowboys. And I don't like it.
So often, what you're saying is Cowboy fans have the IQ of extension cords.
Of course. That's why they're Cowboy fans.
Naram, he did say that they were just talking about Blaine Gabbert dropping in general down on the draft board.
Yeah, there's no way that they would have Jake Locker being picked over Blaine Gabbert. Nobody saw that coming.
Yo, Blaine Gabbert's going next. You know Shanahan got to get a quarterback. That dude he got down there now.
All right. It's good because we're going to get – we thought we would get past like the first – I mean get to the first 10 picks. And we're on 10. We probably – I don't know. If the Redskins take as long as the Cowboys did, then we wouldn't get this pick in. So real quick, before we go off the air, what do you guys see the Redskins doing here and what should they do? Should they go quarterback since Blaine Gabbert is still on the board and Donovan McNabb is trash?
Donovan McIndian.
Yo, I think Donovan McThrowing the dirt after 1 year down there makes people realize why as though we call him Donovan McThrowing the dirt. He tore up more grass and turf in one season. But anyway, I think they are going to go quarterback.
Not even. Listen. They got Donovan in Wizards camp to help John Wall practice on his bounce passing.
All right, so we got a big following down in Washington, you know, because a few of us, that's our new stomping ground, so I know they would have loved to hear our little banter on their pick, but it looked like we're going to run out of time. We still got, like, a minute.
No, we may run out.
I think they're going quarterback. We can holler at the people on Facebook, though. You know how we do. You'd be on the book talking trash because I think that they have to replace.
I'm going to put the question up there right now.
I think Daniel Snyder is going to deploy a new strategy this year, and he's going to try and draft the USA track and field team.
Yeah, I think Donovan McRegurgitate has to be replaced. So, you know, they definitely want to go quarterback here.
Even if they don't go quarterback and they take another year with Rex Grossman, who actually, you know, played under the system in Houston. Even if they keep him for another year and gamble on trying to either get a veteran or get somebody in next year's draft, Donovan is gone. I mean, I still see ads and commercials where they're still trying to have Donovan McNabb be the face of the team. They even did it on the Super Bowl. I'm like, come on, man. He's not going back to Washington. He wouldn't want to go back to Washington even if they still wanted him. He feels disrespected.
All right, it's almost time to get out of here now. We're gonna miss the Redskins pick.
Well, it was fun doing.
So anyway, absolutely. Thanks everybody for joining us in the War Room for the start of the 2011 NFL Draft this evening. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Tune in next week back at our regular time of 6 p.m. for another great episode of the War Room. We'll be rapping with Rob Parker of ESPN's First Take and ESPNNewYork.com. And in the second hour, we'll be talking hip-hop and sports with special guest, hip-hop recording artist Tracy Lee. We'll rap to Tracy about his upcoming release, his career outside of hip-hop, his thoughts on the NBA playoffs, and his recollection of collaborating with the late, great, Notorious B.I.G. Rest in peace. And as usual, we'll get you caught up on all the big stories of the week in sports. Tune in next week. Take us out, B.I.G.
Holla. Fuck that. I preach it. My nine.
Get at it.
The procedures. Can't speak this. Really shit. Flooded pieces. My hand released.
run, the outcome is usually a beat down brutally. Fuck who you be or where you're from, west or east coast, squeeze toast, leave most in the blood they laying in, X-raying them.
Oh shit, I suppose it's time to go stitch, flip a line and get the show lit. You clown niggas, hold it down, your flow lacks, just so you know that. We can battle for days like old cats, black, you're dealing with a throwback, winning like straight jacks. With a wide range of rhymes, team, my lyrics, they bang like migraines. Nigga, my name's Trey the Terrible, Philadelphia Wild Out, incredible. Too sick for medical attention. People listen, it's verbal ascension. Like Maxwell, many dimensions. Float over tracks well. Mics in critical condition. Killing your Maxell. Unveil lyrical skills unknown. For my peoples with illegal cell phones and real MCs, let's bring it back home. Live from the 215. LR's the backbone. In charge and heavily armed like Brent Favre. You facade niggas stay down. Biggie make them hit the floor face down.
What? Them rings and things you sing about. Bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. It's more than I expected. I thought your jewels was rented, but they wasn't. So run it, cousin. I can chill, the heat doesn't. Ran up in your shell about a dozen. You never see bank life, Frank White. Your hand clutching, your chest plate. Contemplate, you about to die, nigga. Wait, keep your hands high.
If you don't wanna die, keep your hands high.